God. Please take your seats. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I want to start by asking a question. And it's this. How many of you in the last year have at some point felt that horrible heaviness that just feels like it kind of comes over you like a cloak, or like it sits down on the inside of you, like it sits on, if you think of your soul, like a well, like a spring, that heaviness just that feels like it sits on top. If you felt that sometime in the last year, put up your hand, that heaviness, a heavy heart at some point in the last year. What about the last month? How many of you have felt it at some point in the last month? Do you know, it's so common to deal with and to face that horrible feeling of heaviness. When, you know, and sometimes it's a result of a succession of different things happening. Sometimes we can't even put our finger on exactly why. But there's just that heaviness, just that, you know, we just have a heavy heart. And it's a really, really horrible feeling. And in Psalm 119, King David wrote this. He said, heaviness has melted my soul. Heaviness, I'll find the scripture reference. Heaviness, my soul melts from heaviness. It's verse 28 of Psalm 119. My soul melts. And you see, everything that happens that the enemy uses, he always has a plan. You know, we sometimes think of the enemy as this reactive kind of, that he's not thinking, that he's not planning. You know, the enemy always has a plan against you and against me. Are you hearing me? Turn to your neighbor and say, the enemy has a plan. So you better know it. So what's his plan from heaviness? From that thing that just sometimes we wake up and we just don't feel like much. We just feel down. You know, maybe a sadness. All of these things. And this, you know, it really is on the spectrum of depression. Because heaviness repeatedly is what creates really an environment for depression to set in. It's just heaviness day after day. Isn't that right? And you see, the enemy always has a plan. Because when there's a heaviness come, you see, David says here, my soul melts. And what happens, you know, we've been watching the snow melt, haven't we? You know, and when the snow melts, it kind of disappears, doesn't it? It loses, you know, snow, you can climb on it. It can be inches, even feet high. And when it's packed down, you can walk on it. But when it melts, it just evaporates. It disappears. It loses its strength. And the enemy's plan for you and for me, when any level of heaviness starts to form on the inside, is to cause us to retract, to retreat, to melt, for strength to disappear from the inside of us. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, that the purpose of heaviness is to make us feel like, what's the point? In fact, probably every time you've had heaviness that's lasted even more than a few hours, soon you're asking questions. You would not ask if you were full of joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, she's telling the truth. You see, we end up even asking questions and thinking thoughts that we would not otherwise think if there was a spring and a strength and a joy on the inside. So anytime any level of heaviness starts to settle, the first thing I want you to grasp from today is that the enemy has a plan. Right. He loves it when you have a heavy heart. He loves it when heaviness comes in on the inside. Doesn't matter how it gets there. He doesn't mind. He'll create a million scenarios if he has to. But he loves it when it sets in because of what it can produce in our lives. Now, I want to, and you know, the interesting thing about depression is think about where that expression came from. When something is depressed, the wind is taken out of it. Isn't that right? If you depress a mattress, an air mattress, you take the wind out of it. And so depression is essentially when there is a low. If you have, if you talk about the mountains and you say there's a depression, or if geologists were talking about, they mean a sunken place. And so it's always that sense of just the wind being taken out of us. But I want to look at a passage we all know really well, and it's Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. And as you know, it starts with these words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to," say "to." Two implies that this is going to, we're about to find out why Jesus was anointed. Isn't that right? Now, the next three verses aren't just Jesus' job description. But they are that. If you want to know Jesus' job description here on earth and for eternity, read the next three verses of Isaiah 61. This is his purpose, his JD, job description. But it wasn't just that. It's also something else. I want you to hear this. It's a list of problems with heaven's prescription. A list of problems with heaven's prescription. Don't worry, we're going to get into what the problems are and what heaven's prescription is in a minute. But before I get there, I just want you to start to realize something, because some really simple revelations can change our lives. Are you hearing me? Some of the most simple truths that I suddenly got literally changed my outlook. And not just for a few months or years, but changed my outlook. And I really want you to grasp this one. Because just in the way, how many of you have heard of beta blockers? Wave at me. So we've got doctors in the house, so correct me if I'm wrong, but beta blockers exist to help a heart. So if your heart, maybe you've had a mild heart attack, or you've had a heart attack, and the doctors want to make sure you don't have another, or you've got heart problems, you may well be put on beta blockers, correct? Right. Will beta blockers help a headache? Doctors?
No.
Beta blockers won't help a headache. Okay? Now, in the same way, God gives us spiritual prescriptions for certain symptoms. And if we take the wrong prescription, we can't blame God. Are you hearing me? We can't say, you know, "Why have you let me down, Lord? I prayed about this." And he's going, "Oh, dear. If only she read the Bible." Yeah. Are you with me? You see, there are certain problems that we all face. And we need to know what God is saying is the solution to that issue. Are you getting me? Now, I'm going to quickly explain some of the things. So he's saying basically, you know, I'm here to, number one, preach to the poor. Well, a lot of the versions that expand that say the poor in spirit. In other words, if you're not saved, what do you need? Preaching. Then it says he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What do the brokenhearted need?
Healing.
Come on, let's all say it.
Healing.
Right. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Do the captives need healing?
No.
The captives need
liberty.
Let's keep going down. Next verse, please. And over again. Carry on. Oh, yes. So to console, to comfort those who mourn. So what do those who are mourning and grieving need?
Comfort.
So they don't need liberty. They don't need you to go and set them free. They also, there's a lot of things they don't need, by the way, but we won't go there. But what they need is comfort. They really, the best kind of comfort they need is supernatural comfort. Because they'll come out the other side of that mourning period super quickly. Okay, now we're talking about heaviness this morning. So what does the Bible say that we need if we are dealing with heaviness? I want you to declare it. What is heaven's prescription for heaviness?
Praise.
You know, recently, I just got really down. And it went from just feeling a bit down to just this horrible sinking feeling on the inside. And I'm just like, oh gosh, it's not like me because I'm normally fairly motivated. And so I was just feeling down, it was sinking. And then I was walking through some shops and I'm walking through and I'm saying, oh God, please take this away. Will you just take away this horrible feeling? It is horrible, isn't it? You know, and I was saying, will you take away this horrible feeling? And it was giving me such a compassion, you know. I want to encourage you, when you go through something you don't normally experience, allow God to create compassion on the inside of you for those who contend with it regularly. And so I'm saying, oh God, give me more compassion for others who contend with this all the time. And then I'm just thinking, I just want someone to give me a word. Anyone ever felt like you just want a word? You know, I remember one time, it was so funny. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on Facebook Live, but I'm going to try, and we'll see if my husband grabs the microphone. But anyway, I was feeling, this is years back, this is about 5-6 years ago, and I was just feeling awful. And I can't remember, I haven't got a clue what was going on at the time. But I was just so discouraged. And I'm just crying out to God, and I was like, God, I just need a word from you. Anyone ever been there? I just need a word from heaven. And I think, honestly, I think God was having a laugh. Because, you see, he knows what we need, and often it isn't a word. And I'm now on my knees. And then I heard, it was the time when I used to have all my alerts on. I've learned my lesson and my alerts, and most of them are turned off. So if I don't reply for a long time, that's why. And then suddenly an alert came through on Facebook Messenger. Well, of course, that can come from anywhere in the world, from anyone, whether they know you or not. And I'm like, I hear this alert, that's my word. God, just so faithful. As I picked up my phone and literally it's a random stranger saying, I need you to help me because I'm stuck in pornography. And I remember looking going, that is not my word. But he expounded a bit too much for a man to a woman, if you're hearing what I'm saying, because he explained all about the difficulties. And I'm looking at it, and actually, it did cheer me up in the end. I put my phone away and said, okay, Lord, you know what I need. And maybe right now it's not a word. And definitely not that man's word. But you see, I was just saying, oh God, I want a word. And then I remember hearing myself saying, medicate me, Lord. Instantly, he took me to this, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that moment, and you see, this had been hanging around now for a few days, and it was just horrible. And immediately, I started to sing something just, I didn't care that I was in the middle of the shops. I was in Marks and Spencer's at the time. Hallelujah. And I started singing. There is no one like our God. We shall praise him, praise him. And I can't even sing that well. And so there was no one enjoying the performance, you get. There is no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. Yahweh, Yahweh. Do you know, within seconds, I felt this thing start to lift on the inside of me within seconds, and I just carried on. Yahweh, Yahweh. And my children are always saying to me, Mummy, I wish you just knew the lyrics of songs. Come on, will you? It starts here and goes there, but I make it all up and take it wherever I want because I can't remember the way it goes. So I want to sing, and so I just sing a song, any song. What's my point? I'm not a singer, and I can sing a song of praise. You see, when the spirit of heaviness has fallen on you, when it's sitting on you, this is what I want you to hear. Prayer is not the answer. Are you hearing me, everyone? Prayer is not God's prescription for you. By all means, pray for someone else. By all means, wage war for someone else. But prayer is not the answer to that heaviness sitting on your soul. Worship isn't the answer. Worship is not the answer. What does worship mean in the Hebrew? Worship means kiss. Worship is about intimacy. Worship is still, in many ways, worship is still really about me. How many of you love that wonderful feeling? And you just worship. It doesn't say bring a sacrifice of worship. You see, worship and, oh, your love is supernatural. It's unconditional, but I'm still going to have that heaviness sitting there. You see, there is a prescription from heaven for every condition that we're facing. And you know, when you're facing that heaviness sitting on the inside, there's only one solution that is really going to deal with it immediately, and it's called
praise.
It's called
praise.
Praise. Praise. You see, the devil can't stand it. The devil hates it. We know the song even. You know, the devil trembles. Imagine how great it would be if I could sing. If I had one of those booming voices, I'd be like Lawrence Tete. And I'd go from song to preach, from song, and, you know, anyway, I don't. But when I pray, the devil trembles. I know my son is going to say, Mummy, you've got to stop this singing when you're preaching. It doesn't help anyone. He was the one who one day, when I came down after anchoring the service, and he just said, Mummy, it hurts my ears when you sing down the microphone. So I received my rebuke. But, you know, the devil trembles. But, you know, he cannot stand the sound of praise. He cannot stand it. He will scream and leave. He will get running out of that room when he starts to hear you praise God. You see, when you praise, when you're in the midst of pressure, it's even more powerful. When you praise, when everything's down on top of you, it's even more powerful. When you praise, not because he's been good to you, but just because he's good. Oh, you see, something changes. We take our eyes off ourselves and we place them on the one. You see, let me give you another prayer and praise one. When I pray about a situation, I pray from inside it. I'm in the situation, I'm waging war, and I'm wrestling about that. When I praise, I soar above the situation. You see, we can go somewhere different. You know, especially in the area of our own issues, we need to wage war about things that we're in faith for. But you see, with the spirit of heaviness, that's not creating faith on the inside of you. Doubt, unbelief, despondency, they're the kind of emotions that hang around with the heaviness. You see, that's why we need to do something that makes no sense. You know, why does it say, of course, you know, in Hebrews, let me find the Hebrews 13, 15. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. You know, it says to the hungry soul, every bitter thing tastes sweet. I'm going to pull them together. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing tastes sweet. Listen, how many of you ever feel like praising when you're feeling heavy? I've never once felt like praising when I feel heavy. I can feel like praying. I can feel like complaining to God. I can feel like being mean to the people around me. Yes. I can feel like calling someone. I just feel so low. Will you pray for me? I love Robert Slyerden's quote that he shared one time many, many years ago when he was preaching, about 15, 20 years ago. And he told the story of this woman that came up to him and said, Robert, pray for me. And he turned around and went, pray for yourself, and walked off. You know, but ever be, you know, that feeling where like, just pray for me. Somebody take this away. But you see, the thing about this, every bitter thing to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Proverbs 27, verse 7. Now, let me explain that one. Some pills are hard to swallow. Some medicine tastes disgusting. I remember one medicine that our daughter had to take when she was tiny. It was one we had to mix together with water, and it looked like Ribena. You know, do not be like deceived by looks sometimes. It went purple. And but I remember this mum had once said to me, who I'd met in hospital where Abby was sort of often being treated, and this mother said to me, I taste every single medicine my child has to take so I can empathize. I thought, boy, I've never done that. And felt challenged. So I remember the day I tasted this one, and I just thought, ugh! You know those sorts of medicines? But why was she taking it to make her well? You see, we've got to ask ourselves, do I really want this thing to lift? And if we want this thing to lift, you know, there's a moment where praise feels like a bitter pill. But you know, within seconds, say seconds, you're going to feel that thing start. You know, you have to sustain it. You don't just stop the moment you feel slightly better. We need to boot this thing off until it's running out of the door away from us. Are you getting this? The sacrifice of praise. Why? You see, with sacrifice, it always involves death. You see, praise often involves our death. Death to how we're feeling. Death to everything that the inside of us is crying out to do. But you see, it's a sacrifice of praise that very quickly produces dividends. You see, you know, even with prayer, we sometimes see instant results. But so many times with prayer, it's pray and keep on praying. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And there has to be persistent, sustained prayer. We must pray. Say amen. Amen. But you know, with praise, I mean, the difference is so many times is almost instant. It really is the kind of McDonald's of spirituality. Fast food, fast answers, fast freedom. Fast freedom when you praise. And you see, of course, once that spirit of heaviness is lifted, we can believe God for anything. For anything. You know, we all know, and Kamau mentioned it earlier, but Acts 16, verses 19 to 24, Paul and Silas had a very bad day. Have you ever had a bad day? You ever had a bad week? A bad month? Yes? A bad year? Right, well, Paul and Silas understand. They'd had a bad day. First, they got dragged into the market. This is verses 19 to 24. I'm just praying it. First, they got dragged into the market. And I'm sure where the Bible says dragged, because they'd first been seized. I think they literally meant dragged. First, they were dragged into the market. Then they were falsely accused. Ouch. Then they were stripped publicly. It says their garments were torn from them. Then they were beaten and whipped. Then they were thrown in jail. And they were bound in iron fetters around their ankles. Does anyone agree with me that was a bad day? But you see, I want us to read verses 25 to 26, Acts 16, verse 25. You're already there. But, say but. You see, I don't know how they were feeling until they got to this moment. I don't know what it was that made them decide. Maybe they were remembering the incredible victory that Jehoshaphat and his armies achieved when the people went ahead and praised. You remember that story? Maybe they were reading Isaiah 61 and they realized, you know what? We need to start praising. Something on the inside made a decision. You know, the Bible is full of decisions. Because you see, there's a prescription. And we decide once the doctor writes the prescription, will that prescription alone, that piece of paper, help you?
Yeah. No.
No. No, it won't. Having the piece of paper with the prescription written on, will it help you?
No.
No. What do we need to do with it? We need to take it in and exchange it for something. We need then to get the medicine and take it. There's a but here. You see, I reckon maybe they were reading Isaiah 61 and they realized, you know what? We've got to put on. Say, put on. We've got to put on the garment of praise. Why do you think it? You see, the others, it says you need healing for brokenheartedness. You need liberty for... No, this one, it's a garment. This one is something we need to put on. We need to take it out of our closet. We need to grab it. And we need to put it on, which means if you're putting something on, you know, if you're putting on a smile, it doesn't mean you need to feel it. Putting it on, put on love. There's a lot of things we just need to put it on. And eventually, we'll catch up with what we've put on the inside. When we really choose to clothe ourselves in these things, something shifts on the inside. Put it on. Turn to your neighbor and say, put it on.
Put it on.
You see, it's a decision. The piece of paper does not help. It's when we exchange it for that garment and we clothe ourselves in it and we say, I don't care how I feel right now, even though this really feels like death to even sing, I am going to praise. And remember, praise, let me explain what praise is. It's not songs that are about me. If I praise you, I'm not saying, oh, I'm so glad you're my friend. You're always faithful to me. You're always so good to me. That is not praise. That is just a, you know, that's a conversation that's essentially about me. If I'm praising, then I am actually talking only, say only, about the wonders and strength and gifts of the person that I'm praising. Does that make sense to you? You see, praise is when we declare the goodness of God. It's not necessarily about the tempo of the song. It's about what comes out of our mouth being complete adoration and praise to God. Now, tempo helps. It helps because it's shifting us from that to that. That's why our pastor has, over the years, worked so hard with our praise and worship team. We all love to. How many of you love to worship? Do you know where we get the breakthrough? Say it loudly.
Praise.
Praise is where the heavens are torn open. Praise is where the atmosphere changes. You see, if we worship before there is that breakthrough in praise, it's like this. We worship you. You know, it's that when we worship after praise has changed the atmosphere, has made every demon from hell flee out of this place, then the kind of worship we enter into is like, oh! Because we are experiencing the glory of God. You see, something happened on the inside of Paul and Silas. And they said, you know what? It's time for us to praise. Doesn't matter the time. In fact, sometimes the time is really important. If midnight is your hardest hour, that's the hour to praise. If you wake up early in the morning, feeling low, feeling down, that's the hour to praise. You know, we need to praise in the midst of our most challenging battle because Jesus deserves it. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one whose name we're lifting high. And when we lift his name high, everything changes. So here we have midnight. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. You know, in my Bible, it says singing praises to God. Say praises. And the prisoners were listening. Next verse. And it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, say immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone, say everyone, everyone's chains were loosed at the power of
praise.
At the power of. You see, praise takes me out of myself. Praise isn't about me. And like I think it was Tokio Ronke once said, praise is one of the few things God can't do for himself. He can do most other things or a lot of things for himself. But you know what? Praise is only going to arise when you make a decision. Praise is only going to come out of our mouths when we say, do you know what? Today is the day that I'm going to shake this thing up and I am going to arise on the inside. Would you stand, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, prayer is the act of warfare. Praise is the act of victory. Praise literally brings us spiritually into a place of victory. Right now, I just want you to shut your eyes. Thank you, Lord God. There is no one like our God. We will praise him. We will praise him. Right now, just lift up your hands. And I want to lead you, if you want to do this, in a confession before the Lord. So let's just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your heavenly prescription. From this day forth, I ask you to remind me of the prescription for heaviness. When heaviness tries to come upon me, I will praise your name. I will praise your name. I will praise your name, O Lord. I will take my eyes off myself. And I will praise the King of Kings. I will praise the Lord of Lords. Of Jesus. Now put your hands together for the Lord Jesus.